You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Morgan Ackley. Up next, we have a new episode of The Creative Way with Brian Trapp.
This is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. Literary journals are to writers what indie films are to actors, in the sense that they can give emerging talent crucial early exposure and feedback. That's the case with the Northwest Review, which in its 70-year history has published the first short stories of authors like Ken Kesey, George Saunders, and Lydia Yuknovich, as well as winners of the Pulitzer Prize, Booker Prize, and the National Book Critics Circle Award. The journal went dark for several years, but this June it relaunched as an independent nonprofit digital magazine produced in partnership with the University of Oregon's Editing and Publishing Program and its MFA in Creative Writing Program. I recently interviewed Editor-in-Chief Brian Trapp about the review's past and future. Well, Brian, congratulations, first of all, on the relaunch of the Northwest Review as a digital magazine. Why don't you fill our listeners in on the history of the journal so we can understand the significance of that? When and where did it originate?
Thanks, Vanessa. It's great to be here. The magazine was founded in 1957. It was published Ken Kesey's first short story in one of their first issues. And it had been going on in Eugene, Oregon until 2011, had a brief resurgence in Portland for 3 years, and is now back at the University of Oregon since this December.
And that's where you're headquartered, right? As editor-in-chief, you have different roles at U of O, but now it's back in its origination.
Yeah, we're really proud to bring it back. The kind of basis of the magazine, it's kind of run through a innovative undergraduate class where they get kind of first crack at a lot of the submissions, seeing what the undergraduates think. It really helps them train as editors. And then, of course, our MFA students and our alumni and other people in the community are reading after them to make sure everyone gets a quality read. But it's really fun to bring the students into the process. And still create a really high-quality journal.
Right. So it's part of the University of Oregon's Editing and Publishing Program. So this is getting done while giving students hands-on experience and giving them learning credit.
Yeah, and it's really fun. Monday is a sort of they learn about literary publishing, and then Wednesdays is staff days, and they work together as teams, kind of judge some of the submissions, serve as first readers, and then they decide what to pass up to our editorial staff and eventually our genre editors. We've got Michael Copperman on nonfiction. He's a Eugene native, and Jessica Johnson's located in Portland. She's handling poetry, and S. Tremaine Nelson's our translations editor. He's also in Portland, and he's the former publisher of the magazine when it was in Portland a few years ago.
Now, just to not leave the storied past of this journal first, you made yourself known, or the editors before you made themselves known, by giving a platform to people who became really well-known emerging writers. They published the likes of, you mentioned Ken Kesey, George Saunders, Lydia Yuknovich, right?
Yeah, so George Saunders, they found his short story, his first short story, they published it in 1986. You can still meet Deb, who is the wife of John Whitty, the former editor for 30 years. She plucked his story out of the slush pile, and you can still run into her at the Eugene Saturday Market. And then we also published Lydia Yuknovich's first essay, I think, or just first publication, The Chronology of Water, which was made into a really great memoir in 2011 and just was adapted to a major film by Kristen Stewart last year. So yeah, I think that's the whole point, not the whole point, but the major thing that a literary journal can do is discover emerging writers. And so we are really committed to that process, because that's what makes a great literary journal, is giving a platform for beginning writers, for writers trying to hone their voice and offering them up to the literary world.
Okay, great. Yeah, I didn't want to gloss over sort of those, the lows to the highs, the whole spectrum of this literary life that you're supporting. So how do you currently find your writers? Is it a mix of you're scouting around the state and people submit to you? You mentioned a slush pile.
Yeah, I mean, we do a little soliciting. Nathan Harris, who's in our current issue, I solicited his great story, and he's an Oprah Book Club pick and definitely was happy to get a story from him. But mostly our stories, poems, essays are coming from the slush pile. People submit to our magazine through Submittable, and then we don't, have any relationship with them, don't know them. And so we really treat the art first and see what a writer has to say. And that's really, I think, the lifeblood of a magazine is, discovering these emerging writers.
So Nathan Harris is beyond being discovered at this point. As you mentioned, he was an Oprah Book Club pick. That was for his novel, The Sweetness of Water. But he's an Ashland native, so that's great that you're picking from all parts of the state. Is it exclusively Oregon writers, or do you draw more broadly as well?
Yeah, we're obviously called the Northwest Review. So I think a lot of writers who are in the Northwest are submitting to us, but we're a national magazine. So I kind of look at it as we're looking upon the world from the Northwest. And so if you look at our current issue, it does lean heavily to Northwest writers. There's some fantastic ones, such as, again, Nathan Harris, some poets like Elissa Cherry, Sophia Terazawa. But our doors open to all writers in the country and internationally.
What are some of the topics that are tackled or touched on in the current issue that just came out in June, right?
Well, Nathan Harris, I mean, he writes a lot of historical fiction, but his story is about a guy going to a gym while his house is being sold that his mother lived in, and it's a very kind of really funny story about mourning and sadness. A.D. Nauman's story is about a really funny, lively story about teenage girls in middle school, and one feels like she's being haunted by a Quaker man ghost, and it's actually kind of a really interesting take on gender queerness. Jess Cornelius, she's actually a rock star in L.A. I did not know that. This is her first published short story, but it's a man kind of on a bender, hiding from his wife, who told him to go buy ice cream. Then we have a lot of great nonfiction. Christy D. Osorio's book's coming out in October. It's called 13 Ways of Looking for a Knife. Her grandmother was unfortunately murdered, but it's also a way, a kind of meditation through watching horror films and kind of coping with that kind of trauma. We have a ton of great poets, again, from the Northwest and beyond. Elissa Cherry's great poem, A Catalog of Things I Cannot Put My Body Between, really interesting poem about embodiment and protecting those that you love. And she actually drove down from Portland to read during our launch party. So we're really happy to feature Elissa Cherry in the magazine.
Okay, terrific. That gives us a good general taste. Yeah, so you have all genres, basically. And your next one is coming out. I understand it's a biannual publication. So is the next one coming out in December or January?
Yeah, our class is a fall class, and so it'll get us through the submittable pile, hopefully. And then we just have to edit it in the winter. So probably I would imagine February or maybe March.
That sounds realistic. And when you say submittable, is that submittable.org?
It's submittable.com.
Okay, so they go to submittable.com to turn in their work to you and other people as well. It's sort of a clearinghouse, correct?
Yeah, most magazines use submittable.com.
Tell us a little bit more about your content, because aside from being a biannual journal that's been resurrected, you're also going to be a year-round hub for interviews and reviews, especially for Northwest-based writers. So how's that separate from the journal if it's all online, and are the students working on everything simultaneously?
Yeah, so I see it as a two different kind of ventures. We have the magazine, Bio Magazine, and then the blog, which is featuring interviews and reviews year round. I think it was a real loss when Portland, when Tin House closed in Portland. So it's really great to try to think about exposing people to new writers in the Northwest. And so we've got actually a review, Amity by Nathan Harris, reviewed by one of our former MFA students, Nicholas Fox Anderson, Portland-based writer TJ Fuller, having an interview with Kimberly King Parsons, and a review of Michelle Penaloza's All the Words I Cannot Remember Are Poems. And so that's only three here, but we really want to start regularly publishing. And the students actually have a few student interns who have written reviews as well of Northwest-based writers. So they're not editing those reviews, but maybe sometimes they're writing them. We also accept reviews and interviews from just writers all over who are featuring Northwest-based writers. But we want it to be a hub of Northwest-based literary community.
You mentioned MFA at U of O. What is the literary culture there? What are your offerings?
Yeah, we have a really highly regarded MFA program in poetry and fiction, although they also write other genres, and a really stellar faculty. It's a studio-based workshop program, but they can also take seminars in, you know, writing a novel or horror genre or whatever. Is being offered Shakespeare poetry, contemporary poetry. So yeah, we have a really strong faculty and it really brings people from all over the country here every year. So they're here for 2 years and they're really excited to work on the magazine. I think that was a real bummer when people were coming and they're like, wait, this is gone. So it's really fun to bring it back. And also they get a lot of career preparation skills. One of our students right now is our social media manager. Instagram's about to blow up with all promoting all our new issues. So it's really fun for them to be a part of it. And we also have students reading for our summer contest, which people can submit to. The deadline is August 31st.
August 31st for your current writing contest. And that's all genres?
Poetry and then fiction/nonfiction.
And do they do that through submittable.com also?
That's right. And it's a pretty reasonable reading fee of $15 to enter. So as far as contests go, I think that's a reasonable amount. So and we actually have Matt Johnson, who's MFA faculty at Oregon, reading for fiction and nonfiction, and Michelle Penaloza reading for poetry. But secretly, you know, if it actually cuts down your competition when you enter a contest like that, because you're not competing with the amount of submitters that a normal submission period would get. It actually increases your chances of being published.
Right. So you have broader entries for a magazine as opposed to just that little bar of entry, you know, $10, $15 sort of cuts the field down for a contest.
Yeah. And it's really fun to give someone $1,000. So,
you know, you mentioned Tin House. So I would like to zoom out in the present day. You're in the center of our state and you're obviously in the literary world. So tell us and our listeners, what is the overall landscape, the literary landscape, as you know it?
Yeah, I mean, Tin House is this national juggernaut magazine. They've rejected me many times. So it was really lost, a real big loss when that closed. But, you know, Oregon is a scrappy state and it's a weird artistic state and people are doing the weird thing of making literary magazines in this state. So Portland actually has a great one called Buckman Journal. They do, I think, specifically more Portland-based writers. There's a great poetry magazine called Poetry Northwest, edited by University of Oregon MFA grad Kiji Coopers. The Rapids, I think, is in Southern Oregon. 45th Parallel is out of Oregon State University. The Master's Review, which is actually a really interesting magazine, is based in Bend. That's a cool thing. And then Portland Review is out of Portland State. Timberline Review, I think, is edited by the Willamette Writers Association. And Moss is an annual print magazine, I think, based in Portland, and Calyx is focused on women writers. And I'm also probably just missing a bunch of magazines because it's probably so varied and creative what people are doing in the state. But I think with the Northwest Review, I think that's one of the, you know, major university magazines of the 20th century. So the story didn't quite seem complete without bringing that magazine back.
Terrific. Well, thanks for your part in taking the lead in that.
Yeah. And actually, I wanted to thank the Williams Foundation at the University of Oregon because they gave us this generous $18,000 grant to actually do it. So it can sound impractical, but I think it's actually more important than ever. I think we're getting inundated by AI slop and like robots are writing, you know, attempting to write stories and essays and poems now. And I think what it means to be human and what stories matter now to humans is more important than ever. And I think a literary magazine is a place to work out what's important to us and focus on human stories. So I feel like we actually need literary magazines more than ever. And there's also, forces in the world that are trying to tear communities apart. And what is a literary magazine other than an expression of a community? I think that's why it's important.
Well, thank you very much for talking with me today, and best of luck with your 2027 issue.
Thanks so much, Vanessa. Thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. My guest was Brian Trapp, editor-in-chief of the newly relaunched literary journal Northwest Review, which you can read at nwreview.org. Thanks for listening.